Each and every one of you here will be kind of like an old-fashioned service, I guess. My PowerPoint didn't work either. And I had some pretty slides, too, by the way. I was actually looking forward to showing them all. But anyway, tonight we're going to have a simple study tonight, and hopefully we can all gain something from this. Simple enough. It's easy to understand. Somebody like myself, we know we're just simple people. So hopefully we can gain something from it. You know, remember the first time that you was ever baptized. Remember how you felt. Whenever you was baptized, the old saying, you were gung-ho. You were fired up. Wanted to serve God to the best of your ability. You wanted to get out and save the world. You wanted to do your best to please God. And over time, what seems to happen to Christians as they live longer throughout their lives? Seems like this attitude or this feeling that you had when you was first baptized starts diminishing, doesn't it? We tend to lose this attitude. And then, as a matter of fact, some of us may even stop trying to teach altogether. So why have we failed in this? What are some reasons? Well, we can list many reasons of why we have failed in this area. And I'm convinced it's not because we don't want to teach others, but I'm convinced that we are afraid of hurting someone of our friends' feelings, or we might be afraid that we might be made fun of. I know for a fact all of us here want to teach the Bible, and I just wonder sometimes if we fail to look at how to do it, or if we just don't know the right way to approach someone. It is our duty to teach the world the Word of God. Mark 16:15-16 says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned." So tonight we're going to look at a simple way to spread the Word of God. And my title of this sermon would simply be, "The Power of an Invitation." The power of an invitation. There's something special about an invitation. An invitation makes us feel special. An invitation makes us feel wanted and accepted by others. And an invitation is a powerful way for us to reach out to other people. As a man who invites a lady for a date. As a businessman who invites his client over for lunch. Even a family who invites another family over for supper. A great tool for us to reach out to other people. And invitations are important in the Bible as well. God and Jesus extended invitations to others. And also we'll see people in the Bible extended invitations to their family and their friends. So in this study tonight, we're going to look at some invitations that are found in the Bible. The first point of the power of an invitation, the first point would be divine invitations. We're going to see invitations given by God. We're going to see invitations by Jesus and also through the Holy Spirit. If we'll open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1. We'll be looking at quite a few verses and chapters here. If you will, follow along with me and make sure what I say here tonight is correct and according to His will. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 through 19. Here we see God has invited sinners. Isaiah 1. "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." So those who are willing to obey or to hear this invitation, they could have their sins forgiven by God. God told us to come and let us reason together. That's an invitation from God to all those who are sinners. God tells everyone who are in sin, you can be cleansed. You can be cleansed from everything that you have done in your lifetime. And through this, you can receive salvation. So here's a wonderful example of God extending an invitation. God invites the destitute. If you're wondering what that word is, good, because I had to look it up myself. Destitute is for those who are in want, those who are in need. Doesn't have the ability to go out and purchase things or are poor. Isaiah chapter 55, you'll flip over to that chapter. Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3, and here is the compassion of the Lord. Verse 1 of chapter 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear, and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. So here in these verses, we see being spiritual comes without a price. It doesn't cost us a thing to follow God. And we see God, and we all know God's blessings are abundant. We have many blessings that come through God. Again, we're all invited by God here without paying a price. The only thing we have to do is obey Him. You ever thought about how we live each day of our lives and how we struggle? Every day we get out, we get our job, and we go out to buy these wonderful things that we want. Nothing wrong with it. But we strive to have what we want. Now, you ask Kay, I've always wanted a farm. I always want all the things that go along with it. But then you got the money. But my point is, why would I strive my whole life to buy this when in the end, what's going to happen to it? Fade away. It doesn't last. But here God has invited us something, or has offered us something that's going to last for eternity. Why would we pass this up? So God's gift will last for an eternity. Our next point will be that of Jesus. Jesus invited others as well. Turn your Bibles to Matthew, the 11th chapter. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Here Jesus invites the weary and the heavy laden, which is a beautiful, beautiful invitation extended out for all of us. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. First of all, Christ invites us to come. Come to me. What a wonderful three words that is. How beautiful that is. Things we go through in this life, we have Christ we can turn to. What can God do for us? God can relieve us. He can ease our souls and we can be refreshed through Him. For God is meek. For God is holy. His yoke, it's useful, it's good, it's not harsh, it's not hard for us to follow. It is not sharp, it's not pressing, but it's comfortable. God has offered us up an invitation that we cannot resist. And again, all of us are invited to come. Relief from the guilt of our sins. And all this rest is from God. You know, this is God's plan for us to be able to cope in this lifetime, isn't it? A wonderful invitation given to us through Christ. And then finally, in this section here, the last point is the Holy Spirit also invites. He invites the thirsty. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. The Spirit and Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. Again, the Holy Spirit and the church invites each of us, if you are thirsty, come. What are we thirsty for? Those who are in need of constant needs of spiritual things, things that the soul is refreshed by, and that is God. And whoever thirsts after God, then we need to come. It is free. It's an invitation, again, extended to each of us. How can we pass that up? So we see that God's messages came in forms of invitations. So why would that surprise us then? God's own servants used invitations to reach the lost. And then in this next slide we would have had, it would have been, let's look at the forms of human invitations. Human invitations. First of all, it was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Verses 1 through 3, the word of that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as high as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many peoples shall come and say, Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So here we see in these few verses in Isaiah, the Lord's church will be firmly established. Now, human invitations, let's, again, Bible examples of those who extended these. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. Here we see Andrew inviting his brother Peter. John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. Verse 40, one of the two who heard John speak and follow Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, We have found the Messiah, which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, So you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. Here we see he invited Peter to come and meet Jesus. Imagine if Andrew had never done this. Imagine if Andrew had met Jesus and never went out and told Peter about Christ himself. Here's an early example of evangelism. He brought his brother the good news. Philip invited Nathanael in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, the same chapter, verses 43 through 46. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, Follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said, Come and see. So another invitation was extended through Philip to Nathanael. He invited Nathanael to come and see Jesus. And if you noticed, last two examples we looked at, they wanted to share the good news, didn't they? Are we the same way? Do we want to share the good news? Another example, John chapter 4. If you flip over there. John chapter 4, verse 28 through 30, the Samaritan woman invited her neighbors. You all remember the story well. Jesus came to talk to her by the well. In verse 28, so the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, Come, see a man who told me that all I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of town and were coming to him. Whenever she heard or whenever she saw Jesus, she was so excited that she ran back to town to tell her family and her friends. This is how important it was to her. And notice their reaction. What did they do? They went. They went out from their town. They went out of the town and were coming to him. I suppose they dropped what they were doing. How many times have we been out and tried to invite someone to hear the gospel? It was very important to her, the Samaritan woman, and you see her reaction. And I think sometimes we fail in this ourselves. We have the wonderful word of God, but we need to get out and invite others as well. And we'll get to that point a little later on in this sermon. The next one we want to look at, another example, is Levi, Luke chapter 5. Two more examples here to talk about. Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 29. Levi invited his friends and co-workers. Verse 27, after this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, Follow me. And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in the house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with them. Levi wanted all those he was acquainted with to hear the gospel, his co-workers. The gospel was very important to him, important enough to invite his co-workers. Think about your co-workers. Have you ever invited them to sit down with you to study the Bible or invited them to church? Well, Levi had this attitude, and we must have the same attitude as well. One more example, Acts chapter 10. Here we're going to talk about Cornelius. Acts chapter 10 and verse 24. Cornelius invited his friends and his family. 24, and on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and his close friends. We'll jump on down to 33. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now therefore we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. As we all know the story, Cornelius was anticipating. He was excited about what Peter had to say about the gospel to him. He was so excited, he got all his family, the people he knew, gathered them together. In verse 33, he said, "For we are all here in the presence of God." He invited his family and the people he was surrounded by to come hear the Lord. So with all these examples we have here before us, we see the power of an invitation, don't we? The power and examples that we can say, can we ask ourselves, are we inviting others like they were? It's not that hard. So many came to know Jesus through the invitation. And so it can be done today, which is my final point here. The power of an invitation. Well, does it work? Yes. We have seen it through the examples of divine invitations and also those of human invitations. We've seen God and Jesus and how when Jesus was here, souls were saved through the invitations that he extended in Matthew chapter 11 and then in Isaiah 1 that we read earlier. The disciples, we had examples of these disciples going out into the world and reaching them through invitations. And most of us here today, most of us have been saved through an invitation. Someone has invited you to come to church to listen to the gospel. Someone has invited you to come over and have a Bible study with you. Well, some of the people here have been saved through this work. So, we've seen it work. So now, the gist of my sermon, I guess, let's put it to work. We can do it. How can we do it? The first thing we can do is simple. Invite people to church. How hard is it to invite people to church? Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3, again, we read it earlier. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and we may walk in the paths. Where out of Zion shall go the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." It's not hard, and we must do it. It's not a hard thing to do is invite your friends or family simply through an invitation to come to church. Let's put it to work by inviting others to study the gospel. How many times have you been at work or school or just someone by half of your friends come up to you and start talking about the Bible? Just, hey, what do you think about this in the Bible? Or what does the Bible say about this? There's an opportunity right there, isn't it, to study. You've got the door open. How many of us let this door close without offering up an invitation to go further and study more? I can say I have done that. I wish I haven't. And I'd like to get better at that. So there's a way that I could put it to work. Invite people to study with you. And then we can put it to work to invite them to obey. To obey what God has commanded them to do. We need to point our friends in the right direction. Point ourselves in the right direction. And we could do this by inviting them to obey. Matthew chapter 11 verse 28. "Come to me all you who labor and heavy laden and I will give you rest." Who wouldn't want their friends to hear that? You have friends who are going through troubles in this life and you see them suffering and they don't know what to do. They don't know who to turn to. Well, we know. We should know. We know through what God has taught us. Why can't we invite them to obey the gospel, to teach them about God's word and help them in their lives? We can do it. All we got to do is step up and do it. And then finally, never give up extending invitations. Look with me, finally, at Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 20. Read with me, if you will. "But he said to them, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please excuse me.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to examine them. Please excuse me.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' What have we just read here? People full of excuses. And excuses are just that, excuses. People, if you invite someone and they offer you up an excuse, what can you do? Do you fret over it? Do you go back to them again and again and again? We should keep trying, yes. But look at verse 21. What happens when they reject? What should we do when someone rejects your invitation? Look at verse 21. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly through the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and the blind and the lame. Simply put, if they reject your invitation, extend it to someone else. Never quit. Our job here is to fulfill God's word and to teach the world God's word. And when we stop sending out invitations, in other words, when we stop doing that, we're not being like we should be. We should be extending invitations all the time. And again, they may reject it. If they do, that's all you can do. You can't keep on and make them serve God. But simply put, we need to keep on inviting and never give up. So, in conclusion, I thought about this a lot. And I think sometimes we have made evangelism more difficult than what it seems to be. It's not easy, of course, but I think we make it harder than what it is. We can invite others. We can invite people to come to church. We can invite people to study with us. We can invite people to obey. The problem lies within us. Are we willing to do it? That's something we all need to think about. Never underestimate the power of an invitation. If we'll want one last verse, and then this sermon will be over. If you'll turn to Zephaniah, chapter 1, verse 7. Zephaniah. Here in this verse, we'll see the day of the Lord is near. Another invitation. Verse 7, be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated His guest. Are you His guest? Have you accepted the invitation? If you haven't, then you will face the Lord in the day of His return. If you have not accepted the invitation, then that means you've never been baptized. In Mark 16, we read earlier, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. An invitation to you, if you've never obeyed the gospel, then why not do that tonight? But if you have obeyed the gospel and yet you have fallen away, won't you make your life right before it's too late? If anyone's subject to the gospel, won't you come now as we stand and sing?